with God's help, the darkest hour often comes just before dawn.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The program you will hear this evening is the message Pastor Brian Grant chose for just this past Mother's Day. Pastor Grant took as his topic one of the best known stories in the Bible, that of the turnaround of the prodigal son. And from the story found in Luke 15, Pastor Grant took several things that someone with the heartbreaking task of parenting a prodigal must keep in mind, things that will move the hand of God, which can then move the heart of that stubborn and willful child to bring about a miraculous turnaround. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Parenting a Prodigal.
Two kids told their mom not to cook for Mother's Day, for they were preparing something special. Well, 9 pots, 2 skillets, 4 large bowls, 5 measuring cups, and 1 roll of paper towels later, Mom said, "This was the best jello I ever had." Being a mom is tough, for moms have to guard their toddlers. And as we all know, the fastest land mammal on the planet is a toddler who was just asked what's in their mouth. And it gets worse as the children get older. A 15-year-old boy came home from school and he found his mom in bed. He was so concerned, he asked her if she was feeling sick. And mom said, yes, she wasn't feeling well. And once he heard that, he reassured her she wouldn't have to worry about dinner. Because he said, later on, I'll be hurried to carry you down to the stove. Thank God not all sons are like that. Amen? Thank the Lord. But I'm sure that today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, there are some moms who are celebrating with a heavy heart, for they have a prodigal child. And so this morning, God has laid on my heart to share a message with you on this Mother's Day entitled, Parenting a Prodigal. On December 16, 1944, Adolf Hitler sent 250,000 German troops on a surprise attack on the U.S.-led Allied troops. The Nazis were able to quickly break through the Allied front lines, starting the bloodiest battle in World War II, known as the Battle of the Bulge. By the time the battle was over, the Allies had suffered 90,000 casualties, and 20,000 American soldiers were killed on the battlefield in just that one battle. It was a very dark day for the Allies, and in response, General Dwight Eisenhower, the Supreme Commander of Allied Forces, called up General George S. Patton, known as Old blood and guts, all right? General George S. Patton, a leader known for his grit and courage. And in less than 7 days, Patton and his forces were able to break through Germany's front lines and dealt Germany such a terrible blow, they never ever recovered. And on May 7th, 1945, less than 5 months after the gloom America experienced at the Battle of the Bulge, I'm going somewhere with this, less than 5 months after the gloom of the Battle of the Bulge, Germany surrendered. America, stay with me now, America's darkest hour had occurred just before dawn. And I want to say to a mom this morning that right now your family may be experiencing a very dark hour. But you may want to write this down. With God's help, the darkest hour often comes just before dawn. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Some mother, some daddy who is going through some challenging times. With God's help, the darkest hour often comes just before dawn. Let me leave with you this morning four things to keep in mind when parenting a prodigal. Here's the first thing that I want you to write down. Acknowledge you have a prodigal. We're in the book of Luke chapter 15. I'm reading from verse 11. Then he said, Jesus is speaking, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the youngest of them, and by the way, the Bible didn't say he told a story. The Bible says he's talking about a certain man. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, wasted his possessions with prodigal living, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The dad in our story had two sons. Let's call the younger son Jimmy, if you don't mind, and the older son Johnny. Jimmy and Johnny. We're going to refer to them a lot, so make sure you know who is who. Who was the younger son? All right, the younger son is Jimmy. So once I'm talking about Jimmy, you know I'm talking about the younger son, okay? In Jewish culture, and of course this is a Jewish setting, in Jewish culture, the oldest son was the primary heir. But Jimmy was so self-centered, he told his dad to give him his share of the inheritance. By the way, I always thought that inheritance comes when dad dies. Now, I don't know about you. I have three children. I don't know how I would feel if one of them came to me after the service and asked me for their inheritance. How do you think I should feel if they came with that idea? Well, I don't know if they're saying, Daddy, I think you're hanging in here too long. After all, the Lord said 70 and you got your 70. Give them my share of the inheritance. I don't know how good I'd feel about it. This request pained Dad, but he went ahead and he gave Jimmy a share of his assets. Jimmy could see the pain on Dad's face, but he did not care because he was anxious to leave home so he could get his partying started. And as soon as he got his inheritance, he gathered his stuff. And the Bible said Jimmy left for a far country. I think he went to Vegas. Although nowadays you don't even have to go to Vegas. Vegas has come to us. The casinos are all over the neighborhood. And in fact, they're even on TV. You can roll up the call up and young man, older person, don't get sucked in. If you are gambling on the TV or at the casino, that's not my message. This is for free. Stop. And if you have stopped, come see me. Let's talk. I won't spread it. But you don't allow the devil to suck you in. It's going to hurt you and it's going to hurt your family. Forget the get rich quick. You know, I remember when I was younger and had hair, I would go to the barber. And before my wife started cutting my hair, she has now said there's nothing to cut. So, but I used to go and I asked the guys, I was trying to get them to invest their money. Everybody said, I have no money to invest. I said, how many times do you come here? Oh, we come here every week for our haircut. I said, you know what? I'm cut down and only come once every other week. Come once a month. Save the barber money. Invest it in some mutual funds. By the time you get to 60, you'll be a millionaire. Did you realize that? We're gambling, and all we got to do is take the same money that you want to be rich. That's not necessarily the way you should be desiring. But if that's your desire, instead of gambling, just invest your money. All right, that's all free. All right? But let's get back to our story. He went to Vegas. He immediately threw away all restraints and was having a wild and crazy life. Wine, woman, and song. But after a while, the money, you know it, the money ran out. And he began to be in want. You know, today many prodigals who run out of money start selling drugs. Boy, I tell you, what a mistake. It was on TV this week. They were cleaning up Kensington, the city. My heart bled to see the condition of some of these human beings, to see what sin had reduced them to. I beg you, if you are on drugs, seek help. That is not God's way. God has made you for something far better. Seek help, amen. And we're willing to help you as best we can. Thankfully, Jimmy didn't go the drug route. He got a job. A job is a good job, even if it's feeding pigs. And here was this Jewish boy feeding pigs. Chapter 15, it tells us in verse number 15, then he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine was eating. Can you imagine? He was not only feeding pigs, but he wanted to eat the pig food. He was so hungry. He was so desperate. He would have had some. And one day he may even have been nibbling some of the pig food. And the pig looked up at him and said, I wonder what new breed of pig this is. My friends, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I know that this morning there are some young men and some young women listening, and you are going the way of the transgressor. You are following the directives of your flesh. But God warns you that the way of the transgressor is hard. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Come to Jesus. Yes. You see, there are some Jimmies here. Young men or young women who are living for pleasure. You're not only causing mom and grandmom great pain, but you're living a self-destructive life. But I'm here today to tell you that God has a better way. Amen. For despite the lure of living for pleasure, listen. God says he came that we may have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Somebody say amen. Abundant life. Jimmy was living a reckless, prodigal life. But there was another prodigal in the story. Did you realize that? For although we often think of a prodigal as someone who is living a very sinful life, it's worth noting that a prodigal, write this down because we have a lot of misconceptions. A prodigal is anyone who is recklessly wasteful. It has nothing to do with a crazy life. A prodigal has to do with being wasteful. Recklessly wasteful. So though this story is usually called the story of the prodigal son, it's actually the story of two prodigal sons. For Johnny was also a prodigal, but a totally different type of prodigal. Oh, if you want to see what type of prodigal Johnny was, all you got to do is read Luke's Gospel chapter 15 at about verse 22. So let's go there. And so Daddy's all excited because Jimmy had come home. Verse 20, the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and so on and so forth. Verse 25, Johnny came. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant, and he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your brother Jimmy is home. And Dad is so excited, he has killed the fatted calf." Wasn't that good news? Not for Johnny. Johnny said, the Bible said Johnny was mad. And he said, "I'm not going in." Father had to come out to him and plead with him. And he said to his father, "Look, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you have never given me a goat that I could have a party with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours," I somehow thought Jimmy was his brother. "But as soon as this son of yours," is not even his brother anymore, "this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots," prostitutes. I don't know if he really did, but the Bible never said it earlier on. Suddenly Johnny is coming up with it. "This guy has been running with prostitutes. You have killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me." Listen, Jimmy was very unrighteous, but Johnny was clearly self-righteous. Johnny felt he was much more deserving of his father's love than Jimmy Rock was. So please write this in your notes. Some prodigals are degraded by their unrighteousness, while other prodigals are blinded by their self-righteousness. Did you hear what I'm saying this morning? Some prodigals are degraded by their unrighteousness. They live for sin. They live for pleasure. But other prodigals are blinded by their self-righteousness. "I am special. Look at me. I have a good job. I have a nice home. I have a good family. I got it going on. You need to come and be like me." Johnny was as much a prodigal as Jimmy, for he was so self-absorbed and impressed with his own accomplishments, he had minimized God's plan for his life. Johnny was recklessly wasteful, for he was missing out on experiencing the joy of God's plan and purpose for him. I hope you got that piece. Anybody who's missing out on God's plan and purpose for their life is recklessly wasteful. If you're not achieving what God had, God's plan for you, you have missed all that the joy of why you were made. Amen. Is there a Jimmy or Johnny in your family? You know, sometimes mommy and daddy, we are so concerned about the Jimmies that we miss to pray for the Johnnies. But Johnny may have be a millionaire. Johnny may have the biggest estate in town. If Johnny doesn't know Jesus, Johnny has lost the greatest experience in life. To know Jesus, to know God. And so I'm going to encourage you, moms and dads, as we gather this Mother's Day, whether your prodigal is Jimmy or Johnny, to start praying to God and praying that God will bring home your prodigal, that your prodigal would come to the foot of the cross. Amen? Amen. First, we must acknowledge we have a prodigal. But second, we must release our prodigal to God. Let's go back to Luke 15, verse 12. "And the younger of them said to his daddy, 'Daddy, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided his livelihood. And not many days after that, the youngest son gathered all together and went to a far country." Many of us may question, why did the dad release Jimmy with his inheritance? But please don't miss this. The dad didn't just release Jimmy. He released him to God. He said, Pastor, the Bible didn't say that. But yet, really, the Bible did. Because when you look at verse 20, you see something. When Jimmy decided to come home, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Daddy was always looking for Jimmy to come home. The reason Daddy saw Jimmy from far is because when Daddy released Jimmy, he was releasing him to God. And every day Daddy was getting up, trusting God that this would be the day that Jimmy comes home. My friends, sometimes it's necessary to release our prodigals to God. Some parents are so afraid of losing their prodigal, they allow their prodigal to raise any hell they want to raise, and they don't do anything. It's okay for us to release our prodigal to God. But before we do that, let's make sure our hands are clean before God. For I've discovered that some kids still struggle with pain their parents caused them that has never been resolved. Do you know that parents cause pain? Do you know that parents have said things to their children that have hurt them to their souls? And do you know that parents often, when they do it, never ever say, I'm sorry? We wound our children, but we have this stupid, I'm sorry, I'm just calling a spade, this stupid idea that I am the parent, I can say and do whatever I want to say and do, and I don't have to say I'm sorry. Oh, some of you need to go home and fix some business, because there are some wounded children walking around. Oh, I'm talking what I've learned for myself, because I've done some wounding to my children. Yes. I've had to come to them and ask them for their forgiveness, for my attitude and what I have said. And I'm going to suggest to you, my brother and my sister, that we learn that when we wound our children, we need to fix it. Don't be so proud to think you're something special. Teach that child how to be humble.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. it would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.